Welcome to TechNet Radio, your guide to the IT universe.
Hi and welcome. Thanks for joining me today on TechNet Radio. I'm your host, Aurora Queen. Today we stray a bit off our Vista theme to talk about Excel services for HPC, high performance computing. Michael Murphy interviews Anthony Morgante. He's a technical solutions professional specializing in directories and identities technologies. They talk about how Excel will be able to take advantage of multi-CPU and multi-core hardware natively, which will dramatically enhance the core spreadsheet capabilities. And also about what Compute Cluster Server adds by being a part of the network and resource to these types of applications. And then after the interview, I'll close it out with some information on events and webcasts. Here's Michael Murphy and Anthony Morgante on TechNet Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to this installment of TechNet Radio. I'm Michael Murphy on Microsoft Across America's TechNet team. And with me today is Anthony Morgante. Anthony, how are you doing?
Okay, how are you doing, Mike?
I'm well, thanks. Anthony's recently joined Microsoft, right, as a technical solutions professional. And Anthony, you specialize in directories and identity technologies, correct?
That's correct. Anything around Active Directory, server technologies, RMS, MIS, and now Compute Cluster Server.
And you've actually, in your former life, you've actually served as an Active Directory architect for a large financial services company.
Yes.
I know. As well as MIIS and Atom.
Yes, I was lead architect for directory strategy, directory services strategy implementation program manager for MIIS.
Awesome. Well, we're glad to have you on board over here.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And the conversation today is around Excel services for high-performance computing. And so the first question I have, I guess we could start this way. We know that there are industries and scenarios that require computational processing horsepower, you know, that far outstrips what most folks are doing. So you look at weather modeling, modeling DNA, stock trades, stock floors. Those folks need real high-performance computing. So what has Microsoft been doing to compete in that high-performance computing area?
Microsoft has been involved in developing a product that would take advantage of the recent, when I say recent, I mean within the last 10 years, recent drop in hardware prices. Computers have become more of a commodity, and the computational power of even a typical laptop has grown exponentially. At the same time, the price for that computing power and hardware has also decreased exponentially. So what Compute Cluster Server is Microsoft's first attempt at getting into this space, allowing the customers to use the confidence, to leverage the confidence that they have in our products, in the server product, because it is Microsoft Windows Server. However, it has a specific role where it's only used to it's only used for this computing power and aggregating this computing power across their hardware.
So Compute Cluster is Microsoft's high-performance computing solution.
Yeah.
And it's a Windows 2003 server. I assume I can run it on 64-bit, or it is 64-bit.
It is 64-bit, yes.
It is 64-bit.
Yes.
And so we take advantage of that scale, right, of the 64-bit architecture.
Right.
And what are we doing now? So we have this solution in place that folks can work with. What are we doing to extend that into the Excel world? And how does Excel services fit into that Compute Cluster world?
Well, there's two components to this. There's the Excel services, and then there's the Windows Compute Cluster that runs on the Windows Server. And if, again, it is essentially a Windows Server with a Compute Cluster role. So the only thing you can run on this server is Compute Cluster. That's why it's heavily discounted off the regular standard server price. So if you wanted to install SQL, for example, on this Compute Cluster server, you could not. The only thing you can do with it is make it be a Compute Cluster server. What customers can benefit with is now with the new Office 12 coming out, Excel in itself, the new version of Excel, has many, many features that help it leverage better performance in its own right, you know, from the server, from the client perspective. However, what Excel services brings is that it brings the whole server-side enhancements to it. It brings server-side Excel calculation engine to it. It brings browser-based spreadsheet viewing and interactivity. And it also brings the web services access component and calculation.
And let me make sure I understand this. With Office 2007 and Excel 2007, that will essentially be my client services component that will attach to Excel services on the back end running on the compute cluster server.
That's correct. The actual Excel services doesn't necessarily run on the compute cluster server. It runs on a SharePoint server.
It runs on a SharePoint server.
Right. So the Excel services piece runs on the SharePoint server, which allows the whole browser-based web service component piece. What the Excel services client piece brings with Office 12 or Excel 2007 is, number one, Excel 2007 is multi-threaded. So you can actually run several instances of a spreadsheet and it be computing the calculations on that spreadsheet in separate threads, mutually exclusive from one another. What Excel Services does is it takes that one step further. It actually offloads that computing task onto the grid. So the Excel 12 piece has new APIs and new coding functionality in the formulas and the way it does the calculation, that if it's programmed a certain way, if the spreadsheet is made aware of the grid, then the computing power behind that grid is no longer the local user's desktop. It actually is the cluster of computers that is behind the Excel services piece. Does that make any sense?
It does. And so the practical upshot of this is that now I can go to my SharePoint site, I can pull down a big spreadsheet or launch a big spreadsheet. I can launch even, you had suggested, multiple instances.
Yes.
Of that same spreadsheet.
Mm-hmm.
I can run high levels of complex calculations on them, but that processing is offloaded in the back end to this grid of compute clusters.
Right.
And so now I would assume that we take advantage of there's security in SharePoint, and one of the things that folks are worried about these days, of course, is compliance issues, right? Sarbanes-Oxley,
right,
compliance. How does this help address my need to keep my data private and secure?
Well, it's all Active Directory-based permissions. So you can have permissions to web parts, what they call web parts, so parts of a web page that now have become available to you through the web services component of Excel services. You can be very granular and do things with group policy and also traditional access control lists on a per-user basis. And what that does is it helps control exactly what you just stated, the sharing and the manipulating and the managing of these spreadsheets. So it kind of helps maintain this single version of the truth type of scenario where there does not need to be version 1 through 52 of a spreadsheet. There really is only one version of a spreadsheet, and the permissions are tracked. There is versioning that's tracked. There's check-in and check-out. These are all SharePoint terms, all protecting the confidential and proprietary information, which, again, helps you address the Sarbanes-Oxley requirement. So there's no thin solution for sharing of spreadsheets right now. This is it.
All right. So there's the web part, the web availability, the security, compliance enhancement.
Let me talk a little bit about the browser-based spreadsheet viewing.
Sure.
Right now, if you wanted to be able to have the ability to post data that comes from a spreadsheet on a website, you actually have to convert the spreadsheet after it's been calculated to some sort of a table, whether that's XML or HTML or ASP, whatever that might be, it has to be converted. With the Excel browser-based spreadsheet viewing and web services component that interact and integrate with SharePoint, those components of the spreadsheet actually remain intact, with their full Excel integrity behind the scenes. So all the formulas and the formatting all stays there, and they become what's known as a web part. So you can actually embed a portion of an Excel spreadsheet or a whole entire spreadsheet, for example, either a table itself or a pie chart or a graph, right into the web page. Every time that page is viewed, the data will be refreshed. You can either have it compute on the fly, you can have it recompute upon user request. You can enable and disable certain input fields if you like. So, for example, if there's a the demo that I do typically at a show is this callable bond demo where I simulate being like a portfolio trader for a customer, and I bring up 150 different bonds for this customer, and I put in how many bonds, the number of bonds I want to run through this Monte Carlo simulation. And for each simulation, it runs 10,000 iterations for each bond. And so I just key in the number 50, for example, if I wanted the 50. And that is just one field that is available to me, the viewer, on an actual web page. So I don't need to have Excel on my machine at all. I could just go to a web page. It brings up this Excel interface, which is, again, the spreadsheet becomes webified, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I have full Excel capability. I can sort and do all kinds of things, but depending on what is enabled for the user to do right on that web page.
And clearly there's great benefit in being able to access that data and have it live like that and living, right, so that I can edit that data and I can see the changes flow through there. The concern that I think customers would have is if I'm viewing this data over a web connection, how do I know that that connection is secure so that if somebody's listening on the wire, they're not pulling the details of that confidential information?
Well, first of all, it could be viewed over HTTPS, so a secure channel. And further, if you want to even secure it further with RMS, for example, Rights Management Services, you can actually attach certificates to specific information or spreadsheets or files. And those documents can only be either viewed, read, manipulated, depending on the permission, by people who have been authorized to do so. So even if that were to be the case, where somebody on the local intranet was to be able to get part of the stream, they would not be able to view anything because it'd be encrypted. They'd need to have a certificate in order to view it.
So then built into the solution of Excel services for high-performance computing, we see not just an ease of use and ease of data access via the web interface, but we see the ability to secure that data with encryption, with native encryption methodologies in the form of SSL or certificate services.
Right. Exactly.
Excellent. Nice. What else is new in here? What else is exciting in here?
Well, part of the benefits, let me just speak about some of the benefits of the compute cluster itself outside of Excel services. What the compute cluster allows you to do, obviously, is to aggregate your computing power. So you can take X number of computers that have X number of processors located on each one of those motherboards of those computers and not necessarily network them, because networking is different than connecting them one-to-one and allowing them to share resources. That's what networking is. It allows them to see one another and share resources. Here, with grid computing, they actually connect to one another, but they're sharing resources, limited resources, very focused resources, meaning processor and memory, and they actually function as one cohesive motherboard, so to speak, even though it could be 20, 200, 2,000. So what that gives you is you can schedule, it gives you the ability to schedule spreadsheet calculations, it gives you the ability to manage and prioritize spreadsheet calculations. So some of the examples that you said with weather forecasting and tornadoes, things like aerospace simulation, like I know the temperature fluctuation and acceleration loads for like space shuttle simulation,
mm-hmm.
those used to take days. So the job would be submitted and it would take days for the calculations to finish because there's many variables, many iterations. Now these jobs can be scheduled, can be prioritized, and again, the larger the cluster, the time exponentially decreases with every node that's added to the cluster. There's fault tolerance built in, there's queuing capabilities and optimization components that you can configure, load balancing. You can segregate your cluster, so if you have a 200-node cluster and you want to dedicate 10 of them to do a specific job every close of the month or close of the quarter, you can do that as well. Scalability is very easy. You simply do it by adding nodes. So there's a lot of features that the compute cluster adds natively just by being part of the network and a resource to these types of applications.
Now, and just in listening to you talk about compute cluster and high-performance computing, I can't help but think that you know, the reality of the marketplace there is that traditionally the Linux and Unix flavors of operating systems have dominated in that arena. So this looks like an attempt for Microsoft to really play seriously in that space. What do you consider to be some of the implications of that?
Yes, so like other version 1 products of Microsoft, we try to do our best to come out the door swinging and try to compete as fiercely as possible in giving the customer the best bang for their buck. And this has been touted by many industry experts as one of the best version 1 products Microsoft has released in quite a while. And what that means is we're not out there to overtake the whole compute cluster high-performance computing footprint. We're not there to shift the whole paradigm to the Microsoft platform overnight. We are there to prove to the world that we do have a very competitive product in this space, and because Microsoft in some way, shape, or form does have penetration in most infrastructures, again, in some way, shape, or form, our interoperability and our value can be realized immediately simply because of things like you can use existing management tools that you use to manage other servers in your infrastructure that are Windows-based to manage compute cluster servers.
And you had mentioned earlier the integration with Active Directory, right?
Right. The integration with Active Directory, both from a user access standpoint as well as from a server standpoint. Directory, it's no different than just another server. Again, that's why you're able to leverage things like SMS and MOM and all the other tools that we have already to manage our servers, because, again, it is Windows Server.
And the .NET framework and Microsoft Office system.
Right, exactly.
They play right into that space.
They play right into that space. So we are here in this first version, to make the world know that this is our first attempt at this and that they should give it a shot, and that we are here to try to gain some market share in this space. And we think that once customers are able to make some of those migrations to our platform, that they will continue to do so. And over time, we'll be able to take more and more market share away from the current leaders in the space.
Okay. So, Anthony, we are just about out of time here. Do you have any closing thoughts on this?
Although I haven't been able to use this in the clear real-world scenarios where, because I'm not a scientist myself or I'm not an aerospace technician or anything like that, I have done many demos with it, and the demos speak for themselves, where things, again, that could take calculations that can take hours can now take minutes.
Now, we have beta customers that are testing this now. Do we have any customer evidence or case studies that are published yet, or do you know of any coming out soon?
We do not have any case studies yet. I'm sure we're working on quite a few at the moment. I know there has been some deals that have been inked for some compute cluster grids. I'm not sure if it's public information yet or if it's still under NDA.
But it'll be out soon, I'm
sure. But it'll be out, yes.
All right, great. Well, Anthony, welcome to the team. It's great to have you here. Thanks for talking to us today.
Thank you very much.
We certainly appreciate your time, sir. And for TechNet Radio, I'm Michael Murphy.
Thank you.
Michael Murphy and Anthony Morgante on TechNet Radio. And now on to my weekly events calendar. There's a TechNet webcast using SQL Server Analysis Services with the 2007 Microsoft Office system. This is a level 200, and it's on Wednesday, November 22nd at 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Join this webcast to learn how you can use Microsoft SQL Server Analysis Services and deploy business intelligence to users in Microsoft Office Excel 2007 and Microsoft Office SharePoint Server 2007. To find that event and other webcasts, you can visit Microsoft.com/webcasts. On November 30th, there's a conference, IT Roadmap, in San Francisco, and it's at Moscone West. If you check out that conference, your day will start with an all-star IT panel. Then you pick a morning technology track and an afternoon track, where you'll gain knowledge and share in the breakout for the latest case studies from IT's best independent analysts, most experienced end users, and innovative technology partners. If you're interested in more information for that event, visit networkworld.com/events/itroadmapsf06/index.html. Join us next week. We'll close out our Vista theme to talk about how Microsoft IT optimizes client security by using Windows Vista. And then for the month of December, we'll be discussing Office 2007. So I hope you'll join us for those shows. Remember, if you have any feedback or any content ideas, you can email us here at tnradio@microsoft.com. Or you can also call and leave a voicemail, 877-814-6506. Thanks for listening today. I look forward to next time for TechNet Radio. I'm Aurora Queen.
Have comments or want to request a story idea? Call us at 1-877-814-6506.